In 1995, Tim LaHaye and Jared Jenkins began a writing project. The first book in that journey was Left Behind. And over the next several years, they would produce 15 additional books in the Left Behind series. An account of their interpretation of how things might be at the return of Christ. And then in the year 2000, Kirk Cameron starred in a movie based on that first book in their series. And there were a couple of others that followed on some of the other books. And then in 2014, the most recent film on that book series, Left Behind by Nicholas Gage. And it had a much larger showing. Just says something about our world's interest in end of time things, that books like that continue to be produced, movies like that continue to be made, trying to help us understand something of what may be in front of us. If you read the book, and I don't say that I've read all of them, Gina, for I think it was a Christmas present, I don't remember, she bought me the whole set. And I've read the initial one, The Left Behind, and I've read a couple others in full and skimmed through the others. But in the opening of the movie, as they try to interpret that, there's a plane flying from the States to Europe. And as often is the case, it's nighttime. And I know each flight I've taken overseas like that, we flew out in the afternoon and a lot of the flight was at night. And so the passengers were mainly asleep, dim light. And this older lady wakes the young man across the aisle and says, "Would you go back to the restroom and see if you can find my husband? He's missing. But his clothes are here." And as he gets up and starts back, there's a shout in another part of the plane. "Young parents, our children are missing. And there's clothes where they were sitting." And that scene gets repeated over and over for the next couple of moments in that movie. Across the plane, people just disappeared. It's like their bodies were snatched out, but their clothes were still there. And panic sets in. And then the scene quickly moves, leaving us with that thought, to an interstate in Chicago. And there's a young man getting out of a car that's been hit by an 18-wheeler. And he was staggering and saying, "There was no driver. There was no driver." And they opened the door to the cab of the 18-wheeler. And sure enough, there's no one in there. But their clothes, there where the driver would have been, but no driver. Is that a Hollywood horror movie? Or could it depict what's waiting in the future? Now, as you read the Scriptures, you get the understanding that those aren't far out thoughts, but could be reality of what's coming when Jesus Christ comes back for His bride, His church. In the 21st chapter of Luke, Jesus speaks about things of His coming back and that which leads up to His coming back. We're going to look at some of that teaching today, but I want us to hear first of all this part of the teaching from the 25th verse through 28. "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People would faint from fear and forebodying of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when you see these when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Well, one thing is certain. If you believe the Bible, then you have at least some understanding of this truth. Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. I say if you believe the Bible, you have some of that truth, because every gospel writer records teachings of Jesus about His return. Four of the parables of Jesus are specifically about His coming again. And every writer of the New Testament books and letters wrote about His return in at least one of their writings. Every one. You cannot read through this New Testament without hearing the message that Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to return for His bride. But it's not just church folks that understand that. There was a survey done by the People's Almanac a few years ago, about the turn of the century. And they were asking of media personnel, both in print media and in television media and radio media, to give them what three future events would be major events that they could see happening in the next decade to two decades. The three major events. And they took that list and compiled the five top major events that these leaders could envision. And here they are, beginning with number five. A new low-cost form of energy invented. Something that definitely the world could use. Number four. Nuclear war leads to annihilation of most people. Kind of a frightening look. But that's what some of these leaders saw, writers. The third was a little more hopeful. Permanent peace comes to the world. Permanent peace comes to the world. The second one, advanced form of life discovered on another planet. Now remember, these are not necessarily church folks. But these leaders in media, the number one future event that they could see taking place in the next decade or two, and we're in that decade, second decade, Jesus returns to earth. Jesus returns to earth. It will be the greatest news story of all times when Jesus comes and makes His presence known in a powerful way to gather His bride and set in His new kingdom of love and grace. You see, the Bible tells us that human history is headed toward a climactic series of events. Not just one event, but a climactic series. And by that I mean, Jesus is saying in this teaching in chapter 21 of Luke, that these are things that you can look for. And as you see these things taking place, get ready, because the Son of Man is about to break through. He's going to come. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. Now here's the thing about it. Jesus' return will be very sudden. It will be very sudden and definitely unexpected by many. And because of that, many will be left behind. They're going to be caught off guard. You see, what is depicted in those movies are going to become reality. Jesus, teaching in Matthew's Gospel, wrote, two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. That's the journey. It's not something made up. I remember as a teenager, one of the songs that our youth group loved to sing was Left Behind, or Don't Be Left Behind. It said, and it's based on that passage, man and wife asleep in bed, she hears a noise and turns her head, he's gone. Well, I wish we'd all been ready. And it went on with that theme, with a couple of verses reminding us that Jesus is going to come and some of us are going to get caught surprised and it's going to be so sudden and some are going to get left behind, just like in that movie. Because He's going to return for us. Are you ready? Now, the question of time is, when will Jesus return? And I don't have a specific time for you today, because all Jesus gave us was signs. In our scripture, if you move to the next section of verse of chapter 21, you read, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Do you see the image? He said, you know spring's on the way as the these begun to come. And I guess you could take the scenario, you know winter's on the way when the leaves begin to fall. Actually, in most falls, it's you know it's on that way when the leaves begin to change. We kind of skipped that this year, didn't we? Jen and I were on the way back from a grandson's birthday party yesterday and came up the interstate and she made notice, look at all the dead leaves. Where's the color been this year? But what do we know? The season's changing. They're changing as the leaves change and die and fall. And Jesus is saying, as you can see those signs around you at the change of the time, so when you see these things taking place, know that my time is coming. And what are some of the things? Let's move up earlier in this chapter. In verse 8, he says, beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. In other words, there are going to be people with a false teaching. There are going to be people who come claiming to be followers of Jesus. Did you know that in America today, cults are growing faster than the Church of Jesus Christ? Cults are growing faster than the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cults, many of whom claim to be followers of Jesus, but present a new word from Jesus. They're growing faster than the church. We're living in that time frame. And many of us can go back and remember decade after decade where there's been a cult leader who's gotten a following and led people to destruction. When I was a teenager, it was Hare Krishna and Sun Moon. And then came Jim Jones, David Koch, and Applewhite. And it's just been one generation after other, or one decade after other, it seems that they regularly emerge claiming to be the way or knowing the way. That's what Jesus is talking about. We're living in that time frame where that's happening. And then he goes on in the next verse. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place, but the end will follow immediately. I had a young lady come into my office this week, not a part of our church family, but somehow recognized that we've been honoring veterans last week. Recognized them, and I don't know exactly how she made that connection, but she came in to thank us, and she mentioned that she had family that had served in several of the different wars. But then I learned that her real struggle was with the fact that in spite of all their service, we're still in the midst of a world of war and turmoil. And she was frightened. She was scared. Because it seems like we move from one to the next, to the next. And if it's not a fight over there, it's terrorist activities or violent activities here in our land. And it can be frightening. Jesus says that's one of the signs. Because, see, when He comes, this world will be some looking for Him and the rest following in a different way. And then He says in verse 28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Now, I know that for many in the world to think of these things and what was depicted in the Left Behind series, it's frightening. But notice what Jesus says. Jesus says, for us who are His followers, we need to stand up and raise your heads because what? Your redemption is drawing near. Your complete salvation is about to take place. The hope of the gospel is about to be fulfilled. Here's the good news, friends. When Jesus returns, believers will experience their freedom. When Jesus returns, we will experience our freedom, the life we were intended to live. Dr. Irwin MacDonald was a Scottish Presbyterian who was captured during World War II and was part of a prison camp at the time of D-Day, Normandy. You know, I've read about some of the prison experiences, and then we've all probably seen some of the Hollywood versions like Hogan Heroes. But you know, some of that in those versions is true, in that there was connections with the outside at times. And Dr. MacDonald said that someone had been able to sneak in a radio and they were able to hear what was going on from the BBC channel. And one day as they were listening in, they heard that they had arrived at Normandy, D-Day. And the one who listened said three words to the runners: they are coming. Dr. MacDonald said he ran to his barrack quickly. They are coming! They are coming! And suddenly, weak prisoners started dancing and shouting and singing. Some were jumping up on the table and dancing, and some were rolling flips in the floor. And he said what was amazing was the German captors thought we'd gone crazy. Because you see, they hadn't heard about D-Day yet. And nothing seemed to have changed. And he said nothing changed physically, but the news of the invasion changed them inwardly. My friends, that's us. We're people who've been told by Scripture and the assurance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that Christ is coming back. The invasion is coming. And Jesus says, these are the signs to get ready for. So look up, raise your hand, raise your head, that is. Your redemption, your hope is coming. That's our hope. But only God knows the timetable. We don't know that. And that's the reason it's about being prepared now. Jesus said in Mark's gospel, about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. You see, when He comes, we're not going to have someone call and say, He's on the doorstep. John Bohr was a teenager when he was working in a bakery. And he said one day the phone rang and one of the employees answered the phone and then shouted out, He's coming. And suddenly there was like a panic. They all went and got new hair nets. The boss gave him a broom and said, sweep the floor again. And some started cleaning up the kitchen messes. He said he had no idea what was going on. But he noticed that there was an excitement and a panic in getting things ready, and suddenly, there was this man that walked in a suit and a briefcase. And he started going around the shop. He went in behind the counter. And he thought, what in the world is he doing back there? And then he went into the kitchen and he would learn that he was the health department representative. And what happened in that little community was, when the health department arrived at one of the places, a phone line happened so that it was passed from one to the next to the next. He's coming was their code word, so you better get ready. You know, health departments don't always show up with announcements. I remember Gina one day kind of upset. She was director of the child care center at Gardendale. And we had a full center and full kitchen and prepared meals of breakfast and lunch for the kids, and which meant we were under health department rules. And they would sometimes announce, but sometimes not announce. And one of these days of non-announced, they came in, and she said to me later, she said, I can't believe that they marked us off because one of the doors on the trash can out way back over there that you and your custodians left open. Well, she may not put it quite that way, but she let it be known that it wasn't their fault. It was the rest of the church's fault, but they got marked off. And we had a little discussion about leaving doors open because, see, you never know when they're going to come. Well, that's what John would later learn about Jesus. We don't know. And therefore, the time to prepare is now. That's the next thought. The time to prepare is now. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighted down with disposition and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus says you better be ready. Time to prepare is now. Don't be asleep in it. Preacher tells of a prayer meeting that he was holding. And one of the deacons of the church had kind of fallen asleep in the prayer meeting. And it came time to pray after some Bible study. And he called on Deacon White, who had gone to sleep. Deacon White, will you lead? And Deacon White heard his name and he kind of woke up and he said, you lead. I'm the one that just dealt. The early service caught that, didn't they, Kevin? You just never know. Are y'all asleep? You see, the truth of the matter is, we don't sometimes just sleep in church, we sleep on life. We sleep on life. And we miss the presence of Jesus. And we miss the direction of Jesus. And we fall asleep to what He's trying to teach us to be ready and to prepare the world for His coming. Jesus said, be alert, stay awake. Be looking in anticipation. And I wonder if that's the warning that our church needs to hear today across the world, because it's been over 2,000 years and He still hasn't come. And we kind of become complacent and we forget to look at the signs that are pointing to the time. And they're happening all around us. But the good news is you can know your salvation and know you're a part of that kingdom. Jesus said, be alert and pray. Two parts that we're supposed to take. First, be alert by paying attention to Him, listening to His Word, and to pray. Pray for, first of all, our own salvation, that we're ready. And if you don't know Jesus, it's time to pray. And there's a prayer on your message outline that can help you get right with Christ. But I know a lot of people that have no assurance in their faith. No assurance. I hear it regularly. I hope I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm going to be ready. It's not a hope-so faith. It's a know-so faith. Paul said, I know the one in whom I have placed my trust. Do you know Him today? You can. There's prayers at the bottom of your message note that can help you. And if you're worshiping by streaming this morning, you can download that app and see those message outlines by going to our church webpage and getting instructions there. Then I need to close with this. Back when I was a teenager and having heard the call to ministry and all, I got a newspaper from David Wilkinson Ministries. This was supposedly what the newspaper might look like the day after the return of Christ. Kind of like the movie Left Behind. And it had some similar scenarios. But one of them, because He returned in the paper on Sunday. Well, what happens on Sunday? Churches are gathering. And one of the headlines was, congregation worshiping half disappear. Something like that. And the article said, down at First Church today, the preacher was left to preach with about half the congregation that gathered that morning. Did you hear it? The preacher was left to preach with about half of the congregation. I want you to know that if He comes between now and the next service, they're going to have to look for a preacher. And if He comes before we finish this song in just a moment, somebody else will have to say the benediction. Because I'm not going to be here. I know the one in whom I have placed my faith. And I know He has guarded until that day that which I've entrusted to Him. Do you know that? Can you say that with assurance? That's what Paul declared to Timothy. It's our hope in Him. You can know your salvation. And that's my prayer today, that you won't leave this place without knowing for certain. Because I don't know when He's coming. But as I look at the signs, one of the last signs that I see is missing is the temple. And I saw an announcement this week out of the new ambassador's office in Israel, it's moved to Jerusalem, that they are announcing that the temple work is soon to begin. Friends, if that's the case, you better get ready, because the time is at hand. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your grace. And I thank You for the hope that this world is headed toward Your climactic event, the return of Jesus and the living out of the truth of Revelation. We look forward, God, as your people, to that day when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and this body of ours transformed, where there's no more dying, no more pain, no more sickness. But Lord, until that day, help us to remember what you told the disciples at your ascension, that that's time's not for us to understand, but we're to be about witnessing in our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Make us faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.